Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fifth Quarter Podcast. My name is Johan, and I'm bummed because my team sucks.
Damn right they do.
Are they really your team, though?
They are.
Until the Seahawks
win
the Super
Bowl. Guys, wild card weekend has passed us. And, you know, I don't know
Things what happened. The
point of... Some good games.
All there were actually... possession games. All of them were one possession, guys. And why wait? Let's get to it. The first game. Bills Texans ESPN, nothing says playoffs. Nothing says playoffs like Burger McFarland on commentary. Yeah. The Houston Texans defeat the Buffalo Bills 22-19, guys, in overtime. All right, so it's a tale of two halves for sure. I got to watch the fourth quarter of this game, so I'm gonna need a little help with the first.
It was pretty lame until then.
Yeah, it was pretty lame. Really sloppy.
It was your typical Saturday early wild card game.
No. It was your typical Texans playoff game. Get it right. We haven't had a good Texans playoff game until the fourth quarter of this one.
Well, hang on. Don't they always play the early Saturday game?
They do.
We have one of the same.
That's their slot. Just like how just like the Chargers own that 4:30 slot when it, but really they own like the 6 p.m. comeback slot. That's the Texans own the 4 or the 425 letdown spot on Saturday and wild card weekend. So I guess
I don't have much to say about this game. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know.
The Deshaun Watson play was insane, or he somehow evaded the sack. Like he got nailed by two players and he evaded the sack and got his team down the field. So I mean that was pretty insane.
I think for me just the biggest story is that Josh Allen was
It was
Jekyll and Hyde in a way, because in the beginning, you know, the Bills go on at big they start off with a touchdown with a what was it, a 40 something yard run with his and then a reception and they start off
the game 16-0 and they finish the game it was 22-19 is the final score, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I think, it got to like 16-19 and then
19 unanswered points.
Yeah. It was a rough one for Buffalo fans to watch, because I think you wanted a little more out of your offense, but I think for me, man, that it was just weird because Josh Allen, I was just reading, you know, he's playing well, and then you watch at the end of the game, you see him throw, what was it, a double or triple coverage on a fullback, and that's the pass he decides to make, and it was just some awkward decision making on his part, but
he froze under the big lights.
And JJ Watt, of course, you know, big play, JJ play, it gets like one sack, but you know what, we'll give it to him.
He came back from his first game after tearing his pec, so one sack, that's fine.
Yeah. What is his pec? I thought it was his abs.
I thought it was his pec.
I'm probably wrong. I think somebody else tore their pec. Or their abs, my bad.
Yeah, there's not much I really have to say about this game because it's just disgusting and
it was fun. It was a fun, disgusting game.
All right, let's move on to the next Saturday game.
Talking about letdowns. Let's talk about the other Saturday game.
So the Tennessee Titans defeat the New England Patriots.
Abused. Demolished.
I think that's a strong way to put it.
I don't think so.
No, I do, because I think that I know that the Patriots,
if a team gives up 180 rushing yards, you got to.
I get that. But the defense still played well because they held everything else.
182 rushing yards.
You guys could not stop Derrick Henry.
We could have stopped the run, but everything else was stopped.
The run is 3/4 of that offense.
Yeah, if you can't stop the running game,
no, but I hold up.
That's
but the defense, play,
if
the
you
defense
can't,
made
Johan, if you can't stop 3/4 of an offense, you didn't stop their offense.
No, but I think my thing is
you
this, stop right?
Ryan Tannehill.
The Patriots,
and I think 30 teams,
the Patriots couldn't score. The Patriots couldn't score, and the defense managed to keep them in the game the whole time. If it wasn't for the fact that the Titans offense, that Ryan Tannehill was playing like trash, this could have been a lot worse. It should have been a lot worse. I mean, there was that pick on Tannehill. There was a couple of fumbles that were recovered by Tennessee. So I think that the defense did a – I still – I mean, outside of Derrick Henry, that was rough. It was like every single handoff was at least a guaranteed 4 or 5 yards. And even if you, I mean, there was a play where he was stuffed in the back, where it looked like he was stuffed, and it was like two Patriots players, and then he ran around and still got like a 3 yard gain to make like a 4th and 2 or something like that, or like a 3rd and 2. It was bad. But I'm not gonna bash the Patriots defense as badly as most people are, because I think that they still kept us in a game that any other offense would have absolutely.
You had no business being in.
Yeah, we had no business being in this one. The offense was abysmal. Julian Edelman had a big drop, but which, you know, people are gonna blame him for that, but that doesn't really explain why. I mean, that's one big play, but the thing is that we get to the goal line, we go 3 run plays, none of them go in. We try it with Sony, we try it with Burkhead, we try it with Sony again, nothing goes in, and it's just like, why don't you just try something? You got stuffed twice.
What is the problem with the Patriots rushing game? Why can't they do anything on the ground?
Maybe I mean, they're using a fullback. They're using a linebacker as a fullback now.
Their running game can't be that based off a fullback to where if you lose your fullback, you go down to like 1.8 yards.
Well, I think the thing is with their running
game,
they don't respect Tom Brady.
Hold up. But I think that you can say that. But I still think that like you look at San Francisco, and granted they have George Kittle, right? You put him at fullback. Juszczyk and Kittle. How do I put this? They can be switched out. You could use Kittle because he's such a great blocker, and he's, you know, you're still going to have the receiving threat. And the way San Francisco likes to use their fullbacks is that Juszczyk will go out for passes. So it's very, very flexible. I don't trust the Landon Roberts on a touch. I've seen DeMarco catch passes. I've seen him run in touchdowns. But I don't think they trust the Landon Roberts too much to be doing what they usually have fullbacks doing. And in this case, I mean, for the whole year, we haven't had a good run game. Sony hasn't been great. Our best running back is James White, and he's more of a – and he doesn't really run the ball.
Is it time to get a new running back?
That's what I'm asking, too, because I thought Sony would be great this year. Last year, he looked great at the end. Rex Burkhead had, like, what? Oh, no, they had, like – we had, like, 3 rushing touchdowns against the Chiefs last year. But Sony was – and Burkhead had the game-winning one. But Sony played really well. Sony played really well throughout the whole playoffs last year. And this year, it just seems like Sony couldn't get going. I don't know why.
Well, Damian Harris wasn't the offensive line been injured it, for a lot of the
it
year?
It has, but think about the Patriots. They usually have somebody, don't they? We have.
I mean, apparently not. I mean, they've been making some bad roster.
I mean, Dante Scarnacchia is usually considered to be a great O-line coach. You'd expect somebody to be there that can do well. And we lost our center. That didn't help. But like, it just sucked. Like this whole
what's his
offense
name,
this year, David Andrews.
Okay, just making sure.
I know some of them.
Who's the backup?
Johan, who's the Patriots' backup quarterback?
Backup quarterback, Jared Stidham.
Okay,
everybody knows that.
Yeah,
Who is the center for the entire season since David Andrews
this
hurt.
Year? Oh yeah, I don't know.
Come on, you don't know?
No,
Ted Karras.
You know Johan's a shitty Patriots fan. But Johan, are you worried about the future seasons?
I'll say this. I think that's the funny thing. I don't think it is. If Robert Kraft has a big decision ahead of him, because it's like Brady wants to leave, but Robert Kraft was Brady. And I still think that in a sense, Robert Kraft already showed his allegiance to
Brady.
Did you
say Brady wants to leave?
I think he will. I think he kind of wants to.
I think he wants
or I think hold up. Hold
I think
up, hold
he'd
up.
Like. Yeah,
I think he wants to stay, but I don't know if he wants Bill Belichick to stay.
Why wouldn't he want Belichick?
Think about it. Belichick wanted him out.
Yeah,
Belichick's wanted him out.
I don't think they're
homies
anymore.
And well, like, I mean, they'd get rid of Brady before Belichick if that's true.
No. But I think we saw that already with the fact that Brady stayed. Now. A few years ago, Brady was still solid. This is a whole different Tom Brady that's, like...
This old noodle arm.
He's old... Yeah, he's a noodle arm. And how do you disguise that? You
old
get a
yeller.
Bunch of weapons. You get him a bunch of weapons. What did we not have this year? A bunch of weapons. DK Metcalf is a solid rookie. I wish we got him. But we're stuck with N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers. We don't have... I mean, like, Mohamed Sanu didn't work out.
You guys
Phil Dorsett
wasted
wasn't that
a second
great.
Round pick on him.
Julian Edelman
oh, my God.
Is,
they gave
Edelman
a second round
solid.
Pick.
But think about it. Like everybody this whole year, oh, this Patriots offense is unstoppable. But we give up Josh Gordon. We don't have receivers. Also, this whole weekend, I've thought about this.
Who said the Patriots offense was unstoppable?
Well, I guess I'm sorry. People said that in the beginning of the season when they were scoring.
When they had Antonio Brown.
For that one game, Hayden over here was bitching about how the season was over.
Okay, but
we remember.
But listen. I think that we gave the Patriots offense a little too much credit beating up shitty opponents. And even then, I told y'all it was really concerning when you only scored 9 points against the Redskins. So I've been concerned about the offense the whole year. We don't have good receivers. One of the receivers we're depending on the guy who's supposed to replace Josh Gordon was activated in week 8 or 9. We don't have any offensive weapons, and this isn't more a complaint of, oh, give him – this is me, like, being mad with the Patriots organization. This isn't an excuse. This is me being mad because I'm like, you're counting on players that Tom Brady isn't counting on. You don't – for years, we've been depending on a tight end. How many years have we had Gronk? 10? Like, eight or nine seasons. We had Gronk. He was our best player even last year when he wasn't that great. He was at least an amazing decoy because – regardless of what you think, you have to factor in that Rob Gronkowski's playing because he had elite moments last year against Kansas City, against Los Angeles. He could still show off. He still showed that he was a solid player. I didn't know why we didn't go Cameron Brate, OJ Howard, Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee. Seattle had two tight ends at one point that were all right. They're a good. Why not go for Vance McDonald? Why not go for a tight end? Our system for years ran through having an elite tight end. I'm not saying that we're going to find an elite one again. I'm just saying we got Benjamin Watson. We have, I don't even, like, what, something Izzo?
Matt Izzo.
And it's just like O.J. Howard was unhappy in Tampa Bay. Now, he doesn't have the most – they're saying he didn't have the most dependable
– We've given you a bunch of time for this rant.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Only good teams get to be ranted about like this.
Well, if we're being honest, the fact that Patriots losing in the wild is like – shows where they've been at the past few years. Like –
yeah. I mean, all in all, I think that it's not the end of the dynasty because I think that this summer, I mean, if our defense is still solid, if we resign Van Noy, McCourty, and I'm missing a bit, Jamie Collins, if we resign them, our defense will be fine. I still trust the Patriots to draft players that can develop. But let's not do that on offense.
I think your biggest threat.
You can go ahead. You're good.
Okay. I think the biggest threat to your dynasty actually falls in the AFC competition now. You're actually getting teams like Baltimore and Kansas City with really good MVP quarterbacks that are challenging the Patriots.
And your division might not be 6-3 wins anymore. Either.
You're right. But keep in mind that we lost to Kansas City. Our offense was still playing really bad, and our defense managed to play well. Like the Ravens game concerned me the most. That was the worst one because we just had no answer. But against Kansas City, I thought our defense played well. It's just our offense didn't. And that's been the story of this whole year is that our offense just hasn't been able to keep up at all. And so I think that if over the offseason you find good players, you actually spend money for once on players. If you want to go all out, go all out. I don't know if I want to do that. But I think that maybe N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers makes a second-year leap, right? Or we go out and trade for some offensive pieces or something. I don't think it's the end of the dynasty, but what I am going to say is this. I want Brady to come back, but I want him to come back on a one-year deal, and I want it to be done then. One more year. That's it.
I'm telling you right now, Tom Brady's not going to sign a one-year contract.
Yeah, he's not. Won't. He's not. And he's going to be 44.
And, like, why would
when
he?
He's done.
Tom Brady's about going to sign, like, a three-year $38 million deal.
And
Tom Brady and they offer me a one-year contract, I'm pissed because he's actually taken less money.
No, he has. And he said he's not taking a discount. But I'm saying if the Patriots are going to do this, they don't give him more than 1 or 2 years.
All right.
Don't.
I say we end there.
Yeah.
Johan went on his rant.
Yeah.
Another awesome Vikings stunned the Saints.
Yeah.
In the Superdome. Saints lose their second straight playoff game.
Here's the thing. Kirk Cousins got the 1 p.m. slot.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that.
This is the first big game Kirk Cousins has ever won. And, I mean, that throw in overtime to Adam Thielen was a beauty.
That was a good throw. He's still a bum. He's still a certified bum. But
I, he's
He's a certified
bum. He's moved up, though. He's a little better than a bum. He's a certified bum. I don't know what's right above bum, but...
Trash.
He's about graduated that being to garbage. Trash.
No, that is waste.
This is a good game for Kirk
Cousins. I didn't get to watch this game at all, but I kept seeing the commentary.
You missed it.
Taysom Hill. I heard a lot about him.
Taysom Hill was pretty much the same. Him and his lunch pails,
man. A lot of moxie in that guy.
Hey, man, Tim Tebow walked so Taysom Hill can soar.
Yeah.
Well, they said during the broadcast that Sean Payton actually talked to Tim Tebow about doing a similar role that they had with Taysom Hill before they got Taysom Hill, and Tim Tebow was like, nah, I ain't doing that. So,
well, Tim Tebow's an idiot, so.
Well, I'll never forget the NFL for making us think that. I'll never forget the Denver Broncos or the Pittsburgh. No, never mind. I'll never forget the Denver Broncos for making us think, or the NFL media for making us think that Tim Tebow belonged in the NFL.
He was garbage.
That 80-yard touchdown. It's like Tim Tebow won it. It's like no. Demaryius Thomas won that one.
Still crazy though. Still a crazy play. I mean, the Saints, man. What a, like, who would have thought the Saints would have lost this game?
Maybe they need to tank for the road games. Maybe that's their issue.
I saw a tweet that was retweeted or by somebody that said that the Saints would have been playing a home game had they not lost to the Falcons, and I was laughing when I saw that.
So, did the Saints curse themselves with all the 28-3 jokes? Because they've been losing in an epic fashion ever since.
Hold up. By the way, refs screw them. In quotation marks, screwed them over again.
I mean, it's not as bad as the other ones. Salty Saints
fans. No, I was just making for. I was just saying it for the joke. But yeah, from what I saw, it seemed like the Saints' offense just wasn't being able to move the ball at all.
I think they cursed their team, man, with all those Falcons jokes. They do. There's no way the Saints should have lost this. And will Drew Brees come back? You gotta.
Yeah, I think he.
But it's why still a question.
Drew Brees is still an elite quarterback. Shoot, if they want to give us, if the Saints want to give us Drew Brees, I'll take it.
Well, unless they want to go through with like Bridgewater, I don't think Taysom Hill's a future quarterback.
No, he's just a gadget player.
I think he's a future gadget player.
It's cute now, but it's gonna be over in like 2 or 3 years for him.
You hope?
I like 2 years. It's annoying.
The Storm
and
Mormon's coming.
It's so annoying. The Storm and Mormon.
That's what they called him, BYU.
That's
gross. Oh.
The Storm and Mormon.
Oh, that's funny.
Hell yeah.
That's what I expected. That like that's what what would it be like the Brigham Young Storm and Mormon? If that would be a funny name instead of the Cougars. My bad. Yeah. Sorry, the Utes are Utah. Instead of the Brigham Young Cougars, Storm they should Mormon. Be the BYU Storm and Mormons.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
All right, let's go to the better comments.
We don't want no more Saints trash talk.
We're good.
Well, how much do y'all do we have faith in the Vikings at all?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
You asked me to put my faith in Kirk Cousins. That's a mountain I'm not willing to climb.
To be honest, the Vikings have a chance to beat San Francisco. They can Superdome.
No,
I feel like going to San Francisco is easy.
This is like one of those games where like good job they had, like they had a super talented roster. They won a tough road playoff game, and now they're about to lose like 48-7.
So like that Vikings game against the
like
Eagles
the Vikings
years
against
ago.
The Eagles last year.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at it!
Like
yeah,
2 years
yeah,
ago.
We both had that. Yeah, we still had that. We still had that. We had the same mindset in that.
But
one.
You
yeah.
don't
was
think
a rough
that
one,
they
man.
Would learn from that?
No, because of the Vikings.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I still would trust Case Keenum over
Hayden, what
Cousins.
Do losers do?
Lose.
Yep. They
Is
lose.
That where the Saints lost?
And what are the Vikings? They're losers. What are the Bills? They're losers.
What are the Saints? And the Patriots?
Well, I don't know about the Patriots.
An exception to prove the rule.
The Saints, honestly, if you look at like the totality of their franchise, they're pretty bad. Like they have that Super Bowl win, and they've
it's
been
that,
decent recently, but they're a bad franchise.
Well, it's the Drew Brees years. That's it. And even then, they were bad for a stretch because they had no defense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, those were, do y'all remember that epic Eli Manning's Drew Brees?
Oh,
oh
yeah,
gosh,
the 30
yeah.
years ago, man. A shootout for the ages. I remember being at a restaurant and just keeping up with a fantasy score because it was a wild day. I kept getting alerts from like ESPN that it was horrible.
So let's get on with this last NFC game. Yeah.
So the Seattle Seahawks travel to Philadelphia and win 17-9 in a game where, and to summarize it up, Josh McCown had 18 for 24, 174 yards. The fact that Philly made the playoffs, I know that John Harbaugh is probably going to win at least he should win Coach of the Year. If you want to throw in Kyle Shanahan, that's fine.
Oh, Mike Tomlin.
You got to make it to the playoffs, probably, yeah.
You want him to make the playoffs with Duck Hodges?
I don't blame him. I'm with you. No, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that one. It's a rough one, but I think that Doug Peterson's a dark horse Coach of the Year candidate because this team has no reason. Like, if you look at straight rosters alone going into this game, I'd be like, yeah, the Cowboys can probably steal that one. They did it last year. They won that game last year against the Seahawks. This year I knew Philly was going to lose, and, you know, it was the same exact score as their previous matchup, but it was an ugly game, man.
I mean, this is the thing with the Eagles, though. Like, they played in the worst division in the whole NFL. Like,
no, they do.
They wouldn't have made it to the playoffs. Or they would probably have a losing record in a better division.
What was the stat? It's Carson Wentz, like, the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards without a receiver, a wide receiver with over 500.
Which is crazy. That's
an alarming stat.
And, I mean, his two best players were Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. Or the two players with the most yards this game from receivers. Even though, you know, Carson Wentz didn't play much, but it was – the two receiving leaders were Goddard and Ertz in yardage, and it's like those are the tight ends. That's it. That's all they have. And even then, Ertz was playing with like a lacerated kidney, I think,
and broken ribs.
And it's like you're playing with Greg Ward, who's a former quarterback. I don't think there's one receiver here. Sorry, Greg Ward and Deontay Burnett are the only receivers I see on this list. But, like, Arthego Whiteside didn't do anything. I saw Eagles Twitter was going mad because they're like, we should have got Metcalf, but we got J.J. Arthego Whiteside. But it was an ugly game.
I just got a hex a kill and called it.
But, I mean, DK Metcalf was a beast.
For me, the most disappointing
thing
about this game is the fact you really didn't get to see Carson Wentz playing a playoff game.
Sure, yeah, because
he got
targeted by Clowney.
And, yeah, I mean, it wasn't his fault, but Clowney just – get with a cheap shot on him, and it sucks. I don't know how serious the concussion is, but it was like the whole game. So,
also two funny things I saw: Orlando Scandrick talking trash about the Eagles defense, and Eagles fans going after Howie Roseman for not getting defensive help. They're like, "We need somebody for Metcalf." I'd just like to say that. Let me read these rushing stats for the Seahawks: 11 for 12 from T.J. Homer and Marshawn Lynch, 6 for 7, a touchdown. Now, granted, but the Eagles didn't play bad in this game. This reminds me of the Patriots game too, where the Eagles defense played to keep McCown in. There was a chance. The Eagles
they
had
were
a chance
the
down,
ball,
the, down
yeah,
the end.
Like fourth
yeah,
and, like,
they could have.
Three,
and if it
like
wasn't
that.
For a DK Metcalf amazing grab where he just got past the defense, you're looking at Eagles possession late in the game again.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. So. I think that Philly fans, so they're going to be mad regardless. Same way that the Patriots are entitled fans. But I don't think that the Eagles showed anything to me that, you know, outside of the offense being injured, but you can't control injuries at that point.
If Carson Wentz is playing,
at that
this
extent,
could be a different
man,
result.
Yeah, and at the extent, I mean, like I said, the Eagles had no business being in the game. And at the extent of the injuries, like all the injuries they got over the year, it's just crazy that they made the playoffs, and it's, you know, it kind of sucks for them because you get to the playoff game, and in the playoffs, you know, anybody has a chance because it's just a one. It's, you know, it's one game. That's how they did it the last 2 years. I mean,
like a mini
it's just
March
one
Madness.
Game. Yeah, it's just one game. You beat and years ago, what they beat? I forgot who they beat in the wild card round. That
the
they
Bears.
Knocked out. No. Two when they made the Super Bowl. Oh no, there were two seed, I think, or one seed.
They beat Falcons.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. They beat the Falcons. Julio Jones
dropped the ball in the end zone.
And then, they beat the Vikings soundly at home. And then last year, you know, you win one on the road against Chicago, and then you win another one on the road in New Orleans, or you lose in New Orleans, but you're close. So, the Eagles have been,
they've been unfortunate that they've had injuries going into the playoffs. In one year, they're able to win.
This year, just all the injuries were just over the top. It was just over the top how many injuries they had this year.
And it seems like this is a reoccurring theme for the Eagles, though. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they hired the
No, you're right.
Strength and conditioning coach, because the Packers used to go through a bunch of injuries like this too.
The Packers had the least amount of players sent to injured reserve.
Jamal Williams might be healthy for Saturday too. Sunday.
We might go into Saturday having zero players in injured reserve. The two that went on might both get activated. Might both be playing.
If the Eagles can shore up the injuries, probably boost their receiving core, they're going to be in it for some time. So,
all righty, and that wraps up a pretty good wild card weekend.
Surprisingly good. Games.
That means division round is probably going to be shit. So
it's going to be two blowouts, a garbage close game.
So let's move into these games. Saturday, first game 4:35 p.m.
A pretty good.
This is the Saturday NBC game. Yeah, Vikings travel to Santa Clara. Play 49ers. 49ers are 7-point favorites. So what do we expect? These lines, like the lines for this, for these outside of the Seahawks Packers game, these lines are pretty crazy. I mean,
yeah, they are.
The Vikings were 7.5-point underdogs to the Saints, and they're 7-point underdogs here. I don't know if that's more of respect for them winning or more if they think the Niners are a worse team than the Saints, but. This game could be pretty good
for them winning.
This game could be really good. I'm expecting a pretty close game, to be honest. We'll see how Garoppolo does in his first playoff game.
It'll be interesting. I'm interested in seeing Kirk Cousins, man.
He does have two rings, though, right?
Kirk Cousins is playing.
I believe he does.
He does.
So he's looking for his third one. So.
Yeah, him and Jacoby Brissett, man.
They got some hardware.
Some hardware on them. But this time he actually has to earn it.
Whoa. Backup quarterbacks are on the team too, man. Okay.
My bad. All right. So what are we expecting in this one, guys? What's the thing we should look out for in this one?
Kirk Cousins throwing a duck.
For me, this is a playoff game of, I mean, will Kirk Cousins, will he continue what he did last year? Or will he suck? And or will Garoppolo do good? Like, it'll be interesting. This is a prove it game for these quarterbacks. It'll be interesting to see who prevails.
So, big stat here. 49ers first in passing yards allowed, and so they might allow the least. 17th in rushing yards. That looks good for the Vikings, who like to run the ball a lot. But as we've seen with Minnesota throughout the year, they're. Xavier Rhodes, who was their lockdown corner, is cookies now.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So, it
survives with him, though. I mean, I don't know who was guarding Michael Thomas for most of the game last week, but Michael Thomas did not do much at all.
Mike Hughes, maybe? I don't know.
I know they have Trey Wayne. I don't know if he was still on. I was focusing on Michael Thomas because he didn't really do much, but, I mean, it was pretty good for the Vikings defense there. And to be honest, part of me wants to pick the Vikings in this game.
I think for me, I'm wondering is Sherman, who is he? Is he going to shadow?
Richard Sherman should go on Thielen.
Yeah.
To me. But I don't know if that's what they're going to play.
Well, Richard Sherman, does he normally shadow players?
Yes, he does.
I mean, he used to. I know for years it's.
Like, he used to, yeah. It was Sherman.
Yeah, for years it was Sherman. Yeah, Sherman was somebody that, you know, you put on their best receiver.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if he still does since he's a little bit older,
regardless, the 49ers defense has been really good, so this could be really bad for Kirk Cousins. But Dalvin Cook played well last week, and he's been solid the whole year. and it seems like, you know, the Vikings rushing core is solid. I mean, these are two teams that really, really use their running backs a lot. So this could be a very, very low scoring game.
The over under is 44.5 points.
So I don't think that'll be reached. I think this is gonna be a low scoring game to me. I just don't see the Vikings putting up points with Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a game that I could. I don't want to pick a blowout. I don't.
Ooh.
Because the Vikings beating the Saints was kind of impressive, and the way they did it in shut, like the fact that Taysom Hill's the only way you can move the ball, is really impressive to me. I didn't get to watch the game, so that's why I like don't have much to say on it. But like,
Vikings looked like impressive. Said, they hung in there. They held off the Saints.
If you need gadgets play to put up points, you're doing something right.
For me, I'm actually gonna pick the upset. I'm gonna pick the Vikings on a game-winning field goal. I know I had the Niners the NFC Championship. We did predictions last week.
Bro, I'm being you know what I just realized? I'm being asked to pick who's more fraudulent, the Kirk Cousins or the 49ers. Oh, this is such a bad choice.
And I picked the 49ers, but I just think they're a good team, but I just like how the Vikings are playing. And that's where I'm going with him. And I think Garoppolo, he could struggle a little bit, so we'll see how that goes. And I think Kirk Cousins getting that
game. That's not a monkey off your back. No, I'm not going to give it to him.
What do you mean?
I'm not letting him get away with that. No. I'm not letting it.
What a gorilla. No. There's a gorilla on his back, if being
fine,
honest.
Fine. That's one big playoff win, Hayden, which, you know, could lead to two. Open the floodgates.
So you're saying it went from a gorilla to a monkey now? If he wins this, the monkey's off his back? Is that fair?
Dude, I just think that.
Does an orangutan have a say in this?
No.
I just think that for me, it'll take Kirk Cousins doing a lot more to shed that label
game,
off of him.
You don't think.
No. If he wins this game, they're getting blown out by whoever they face in the NFC Championship.
The Packers? They ain't getting blown out if the Packers or the Seahawks make it. Nah.
It's a joke. It's just.
I don't know. I don't like this Kirk Cousins bashing, man. He's around.
I don't either.
Oh, I'm going to eat my words. He's going to have like a shitty game, but I think getting that monkey off his back.
Let me let Nick pick first, because I'm really interested in
think it's going to be one of those things like they have talent. They were able to win a playoff game. And they just get put in their place by the 49ers.
So, Johan, you have to make your pick now. It seems like you're leaning towards the Niners, so.
Fraud-ass team. Give me the Vikings.
Wow. Okay.
But I want to see it happen. I want to see the 49ers. I want to see it happen. Just to prove my point too late in the season. You know when you get those victories? It's like when Max Kellerman's now doing his little parade, like, told y'all Brady was done. It's like, you said that 3 years ago? That's going to be me. I'm going to call them a fraudulent-ass team after they got the first seed, went 13-3. It's too late for me to call them frauds, but I'm going to call them frauds anyways. I'll do my victory lap Super Bowl weekend if they lose. I told y'all they were frauds. They made the Super Bowl. They lost on a game-winning field goal. Told y'all they were frauds. So I'll take the Vikings in this one. I'd love to see them beat the 49ers just because I want to see Kirk Cousins pull off some weird win. This would be a Kirk Cousins win here would be crazy.
And it's not prime time, so keep that in mind.
Not,
it's
yeah,
actually
you're right.
A 1 o'clock kickoff in Santa Clara. So
It's 1 o'clock somewhere.
It's
Hayden,
1 o'clock somewhere.
I like what you're thinking here. I see where your mind is.
All right.
Moving on to next game. Tennessee will be traveling to Baltimore. The Ravens are 9.5-point favorites. 8:15 kickoff, CBS. Is this going to be – I wonder if this is the remote game. I don't know.
I can look it up.
I feel like this is probably like the Kevin Harlan game.
He might be. Romo's probably calling the Sunday game. But for me, I mean, and I think we're all in agreement on here, unless Nick continues with the Ryan Tannehill breakout tour.
I don't think he is
picking the Ravens here.
Yeah,
the Ravens are gonna win.
I think it's just the Ravens defense. Like earlier in the year, the Ravens defense looked bad. Then they got healthy and they picked up Marcus Peters.
Romo is calling this game. Right? No, he's not. Sorry. No, he's not.
And I think this game's going to get ugly just because the Titans couldn't do anything against New England if it wasn't running the ball. And guess what? Baltimore can run the ball too.
This could be a slaughter. Like, I know the Titans, they did prove something against the Patriots, but the Ravens are just on a level. I could see this being a two-touchdown game right here.
They're just such a – this is just such an overwhelming offense because, like, Lamar Jackson, he doesn't get many passing yards like some other quarterbacks, right? But it's an elite offense in the way where it's so dynamic where you have either Mark Ingram or you have speed with Marquise Brown or you have Mark Andrews getting the ball or stuff. It's just a lot of weapons that they have. And the fact that you have to factor in now that you went from playing Tom Brady who – can't run to now you're playing the most mobile, probably the most mobile player there on the field.
I mean, what Lamar Jackson. Like the Titans, man. I mean, I know they're the sixth seed, so obviously they're going to get the best teams. But I mean, if they run through the Patriots and beat the Ravens, like holy shit, that's impressive. Even if they end up falling short of making it to the Super Bowl,
I don't know. This game just seems like overwhelming offense, and I think that you know Tennessee. I didn't see much from like. I just think that I don't know if they'll be able to keep up. I mean, I just don't think they'll be able to keep up with Baltimore. I don't know if they can put up the points that Baltimore can. And I don't trust, you know, Tannehill to play well on the road against what's been a pretty good Baltimore Ravens defense. I don't know. Yeah.
January. 67 degree weather.
In January, yeah.
All right. But, so, I mean, yeah. I don't really think there's much more that needs to be said for this game. Is there anything else you guys want to say before on? All right. So this is the Tony Romo game, the 305.
Okay. So the Sunday. Houston Texans travel to Kansas City, Arrowhead, and the Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites at home Sunday afternoon. So 9.5 is a really high line, but I think that, yeah, I think this is going to be a two-possession game. I think the Chiefs win this comfortably.
Yeah, because... I mean, the Texans I don't think are very good, and Deshaun Watson is very hot and cold.
And so
if they get cold Deshaun Watson, and it's 40 degrees, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but it's not going
to
go well.
To me, man, just these games that the Houston Texans have had the last few weeks where they've just been – like their offense has struggled a good amount these last few weeks, and
– they literally win, lose. Like, yeah. I know they went 10-6, but their past like 8 games, it's been like just win loss, and they won last week. So
they lost to the Broncos, won two games at the Titans. Buccaneers lost the Titans.
Bucks don't.
I don't know. It's just that Bucks game. It's just that you know when you go you know you're down 2 scores to the Bills, but their offense isn't good enough to continue that, right? Like the Bills can't maintain a lead because their offense is if you can stop their offense, you should be fine. You could collect points because their defense is going to get tired.
And
with the Chiefs, it's just that their defense is their pass defense is great. And you're not going to run, like, you can run the ball in Kansas City. New England did it. Here's the thing, it's New England. You know, I don't trust the Houston Texans to be a good enough offense to where they can just run it down the Chiefs' throat and then their defense stops the Chiefs.
I mean, for me, hasn't it felt like the Chiefs have flown under the radar this year, which is kind of crazy with Patrick Mahomes?
But hey, I kind of got mad, though, because they were saying – one of the Bleacher Report guys like, the Chiefs are still mad. They think they would have beaten the Rams had they beaten the Patriots. Like, well, you didn't. Sorry. I have to find ways to cope with my sadness.
To bring in the Patriots.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it has. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes got injured.
The Ravens right? are literally taking all the hype.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll bring that up in our next game. But I mean, there's been a bunch of teams just flying under the radar this year. And it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's had a slow season, 26 touchdowns, 5 picks, 4,000 yards.
But I mean,
it's not really a slow season.
And that's missing a few games as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I think the Chiefs win this. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout. I agree with the line. I think 9 to 10 points is pretty respectable.
Yeah, for me, it's 10 to 14. I just don't see this being a close game because I just think that the Texans' defense, I mean, the Texans' offense sputtering is fine if you're playing a team with an offense that isn't great.
And the
you're
Texans the don't now. Have a good defense either. Yeah. So,
This is like, I can trust other teams to keep, like, if you're a team that can keep with the Chiefs, it's all good. But the thing is that this offense, this defense can't control, isn't going to be able to keep up with the Chiefs. So
I will say the one disappointing thing with the Patriots losing is the fact it would have been Patriots-Chiefs this window right here. It would have been a much better game, but now it's just kind of a what I think will be a snoozer. So we'll see. Nick, yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah, although, Chiefs all the way.
Yeah, the Houston beat Kansas City earlier in the year for what it's worth, but
it's worth
yeah,
nothing.
I don't think that's gonna. Yeah, it's worth nothing. I think the Chiefs win comfortably, in my opinion. And Hayden says it's yeah, we're all in agreement that it's not going to be much of a close game. All right, Sunday evening football. The Seattle Seahawks travel to Green Bay. Packers four point favorites at home. Lambeau, frozen tundra.
27
January. Yeah.
At night.
Cold on the road. Yeah, at night.
I hope there's snow, but it doesn't look like it's in the
forecast. No, it's not gonna snow.
For me though, like I was talking about the Chiefs being kind of looked over. The Packers this year, then no one's really talking about them. They have the 13-3 record. They had a pretty shitty schedule, so I guess that's probably why no one really talked about them. But I mean, we'll see how this goes. We'll let Nick take the floor since he's the Packer fan.
I hate playing the Seahawks in the playoffs, man.
I saw the Brandon Bosnick highlight a few days ago.
God, oh, man. You know they're going to show that during the game.
For sure. For sure.
If an onside kick is attempted in this game, I'm turning my TV off. I'm not going to watch it.
Man.
Based off of how the Seahawks played against the Eagles, there's no reason the Packers should lose this game. They should be able to walk through the Seahawks team without an issue. But it's the Seahawks in the playoffs.
I was about to
say
that.
So it's not
going
to happen.
Oh, man.
Honestly, I'm not too high on the Packers. I'm not gonna lie.
Do we get?
Oh,
do we
you
get vintage
been high on the Packers all season?
Do we see vintage Aaron Rodgers?
What, like a game-winning drive? What do you mean? Like
no, I mean like put
like
just
he
a
puts
high
up a
high
bunch
output.
Of numbers?
Yeah.
No, high, that won't happen. That won't happen. He's been like. It seems like there's a ceiling just holding him back. What's
it's called the offensive scheme where they don't pass the ball efficiently.
I guess.
They don't have an efficient passing game.
Seahawks 22nd in rushing yards allowed, by the way.
This is gonna
it
be,
is kind of scary.
I think this is going to be a close game. I don't really know who I'm picking yet, so I'm going to let you guys pick first. I know Nick's picking
I'm taking the Seahawks out of pure just because they're my second favorite team. So
people who have second favorite teams. Amazing.
Fine, pure emotion. I'm taking the Seahawks, but it's not.
Team until,
it's not.
I met you, Nick, and then the Packers turned into one of my least favorite teams.
I just don't know how that happened.
I just think that this is going to be a game where you know. Excuse me. This is like one of those games where I need Russell Wilson will have to be really special, in my opinion, for it to be.
And he normally does it, man. He normally does it in the playoffs. If it's a one-point game late. In the game, and he's dropping the ball. Oh shit!
You know, and here's the thing, man. This is a hot take, and it's my love for Russell Wilson. I've always said I still think he's better than Patrick Mahomes. By the way, again, just pure emotion. I think he's the quarterback that I trust the most with a minute left. And I think that if this game comes down close to it, I can see the Seahawks pulling it out. I just think that this game. You're right. The Packers have been very underlooked, and that's what scares me a lot. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that I like Russell Wilson a lot, I wouldn't be picking the Seahawks. Let's just put it like that. That's my state of mind.
I'm going to be honest. I think I am going to pick the Seahawks. The Packers actually haven't been that great at home in the playoffs. You think it would be better. I think their record's like 4-3, which isn't great. I don't trust the Packers. I don't trust the Seahawks either, but Russell Wilson, some magic at the end of the game gets them the win.
Well, I don't think the Packers have been that impressive this year at all. But you don't have to be impressive at all to win game to in the regular season to win playoff games.
Well, I judge based on what I see.
Nick, and this is what I'm gonna ask you: How, if you had to rate how the Packers have been playing this year, like let's say 0% is like low effort, 100% is high effort. How well do you think they played this year? Like they're 13-3, obviously.
Decent,
that's
like 75%.
Great record. That's what and that's my concern. So is that it just seems like the Packers, we haven't seen the Packers at full throttle because either the receivers aren't there or something like that. but it just doesn't seem like the Packers have. It just seems like they've made it. They've strolled, and you know, you get the 2 seed, but it seemed like they strolled to a nice 2 seed, and we haven't had to see them truly play.
I'm looking through the schedule, and I don't really see an impressive win on their schedule. And they the 49ers, and they got shit on by 29 points.
I mean, hell, they beat 13 of the people who came in front of them.
I mean, you beat who's on the schedule.
Who else went undefeated in their division?
And it's not a tough, and it's not like, you know, for, I still, even though, you know, you, those games against, but that's also where I'm concerned, man. You had some weird games, bro, where the Packers played some weird games this year with that Lions game.
Chargers.
That Chargers game.
Did the Ravens not lose to the Browns?
No, you're right. Every team has that game.
But the Ravens have looked way more impressive than what the Packers have looked.
Okay. What was the Ravens' record in their division?
Listen, I just think as good as their record. I can't argue their record. I just don't think they're as good as what they are. That's my opinion.
And my opinion is that I just don't know how much we've seen of the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, for me, I think you guys are very fortunate to be playing – the Seahawks. You got to be happy the Vikings won.
Saints don't look all that threatening the way they played.
Saints still would have been favored if they played that game.
Well, I would have taken the Saints in this game if they played.
Because that would be in the playoff prediction. So, all right.
I don't know. For me, my concern is I just don't know enough about the Packers. This season has just been weird for them.
I've watched some of their games, at least for me. But I haven't watched all their games. But it's just, man, they haven't done anything to be like, wow, that's where I'm coming from.
I mean, 13-3 in the NFL. It was easy.
13-3 in the NFC.
I can't argue their record. I mean, I'm just saying they haven't done.
What have they done that's impressive? They're 13-3, so.
Can you name a game where you're like, wow, that was an impressive game?
I mean, any game they come back from behind in, at the Vikings, at the Bears. Like, it's not like these are easy games to win.
They're not, but you guys haven't really beaten a good team.
Are the Vikings not a good team? They're one game away from the championship.
The Vikings weren't that impressive in the regular season.
So they're a good team when it fits. Is that what happens here? The Vikings are
your most impressive win, sure.
Okay, and we beat them twice.
But I mean, teams change as the season goes on. Like,
okay, well, I mean,
yeah. Listen, if your best win is the Vikings, it's just gonna keep going this way. Cool. I mean, but there's no game that impresses me. Your schedule, like, wow, they did good. There's no game.
You are what your record says you are. 13-3 with a bye. So,
all right. Well, I think you guys.
Teams change.
Teams do change.
They change when it fits. That's what I've learned here. The Browns beat the Ravens, but the Ravens change, so that loss doesn't count. The Vikings got better after they lost to the Packers twice. So those wins, those can be discounted. That's fine.
Listen, you guys lost to the Packers. Oh, losing in California, so it doesn't matter anyways. Like, what is that? Using the same shit.
I mean, they're like, what, 2-13 in California under Aaron Rodgers?
And what, that's just an excuse? Like, oh, it's fine? Nice. Even though we got blown out and lost to the Chargers?
Right, just a stat.
All right,
teams
guys,
change.
I think that's enough of that. So, yeah. Well, I think that we come to the conclusion of all our divisional round predictions. Anything else?
No. That is
other than Joe Judge being hired. I somewhat do. Why?
Huh? No. Wait, what did you say?
A comfy place to sit, and watch the playoff games.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we have to talk about new head coaches because what does it matter? Matt Rule, Hayden, do you feel comfortable? Okay.
Only teams get new head coaches or teams that aren't very good.
Even though the Packers have a new head coach?
Yeah. No, he's not new anymore.
He's still new. It's his first season.
Yeah, 13-3 in your first season. That's pretty damn impressive.
Listen, I'm just using your logic.
Even though he shouldn't, Johan says he should be a head coach.
Nick, I'm just using your logic against you.
People change throughout the seasons. Maybe he's playing like he's a fourth-year head coach. So does it count that he's a first-year head coach?
All right, let's end this, Johan.
All right, people change, you know?
In this.
It's been another episode of the Face the Quarter podcast. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll see y'all next week.